As church leaders, we always want to put our best foot forward, especially when it comes to our graphics at a church. But what happens when we let AI take the wheel? Well, we tested several different prompts to find out what works and what doesn't when it comes to church AI graphics. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about AI and using it for churches, specifically for image generation. This is something that I think is a newer topic. We've been doing AI-related content for a couple of years now. And we've done a few videos about using it for images, but we wanted to do a full episode just talking about some of the things that I'm using it for and we've hearing other churches are using AI for, specifically when it comes to how they're using it to generate images. I think this is a good timing for this episode. We're doing this, recording it here in May of 2025. And so in the future, I imagine this will be obsolete. So in 2028, if you're watching this, like it's different now. ChatGPT just totally changed everything with some of their newest releases. I'm specifically using their tool called Sora, which is, I think it's the same thing as what's baked into ChatGPT proper right now. But the image generation went from, it just advanced light years in a matter of like in one day. Like it just totally changed with it. So it's been out for a couple of months now. It used to be that AI had a hard time with text. So if I told it I wanted to say something, it would probably get the spelling wrong or it would like, it wouldn't organize things very well with that. But now it's almost flawless when it comes to getting text right, like getting the right letters or you can make entire signs and that kind of stuff with it. It's got to that place today where I think some of these use cases are actually valuable. You know, before it would take a lot of back and forth and some of it was kind of funny looking, but you could just get so specific with it now that I'm using it all the time for making images for my church. I know our creative team is using it all the time. These examples are going to be primarily ones that we're doing through ChatGPT. And through Sora, which is ChatGPT's image generation platform, which I think in my testing is the same thing. Whether you put it into one or the other, it's just Sora is kind of better organized. So I usually do it in Sora. So
that's cool.
I guess we have five different ideas that we can share with people about how I see churches using AI image generation right now, and we could talk about whether they're working or not and some of our advice on it. So sound right, Ian?
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds right. We'll kick it off here. And the first one is obviously a big one for churches, sermon series graphics.
Yeah, this is a really big one, I think. So it wasn't working very well just a little while ago. And now I think you can probably, if you give it the right kind of detail, you can get it to make really solid sermon series graphics. We're doing this at my church. You know, the options, if you're like most churches, I think most of us don't make our own sermon series graphics, at least we didn't. And now I think that we're able with AI to do graphics that are just about as good as what you would get from a paid service where you kind of use their graphics. You know, maybe they probably are better like in the actual design quality. I don't want to undersell some of these places like Igniter Media or you know, there's lots of them out there. I know we've used Igniter for a while. They do great work and I don't want to like talk down what they're doing, but I think because it's not like tailored for my specific environment, again, I pastor a church in Hawaii, Hawaii Kai specifically. We have several distinctives and we like to use certain colors and that kind of stuff because we're in a water and kind of there's a mountain right behind our church. And so I like to get some of that imagery into our graphics when we can, right? Yeah. So what you can't do with a service out there is take their series graphics and make it like fit a Hawaiian context as well as I can if I do it in AI software. So we're going to leave a prompt down below for every one of these ideas that we have out there. So I'm going to give you my exact prompt that my team at my church uses, and we've gotten good results from with these prompts. So I want you to use that. Make sure you kind of click, look down in the description and get those prompts there. But I think if you use these and you're doing this right, you can actually make sermon series graphics that certainly are better than I can create by myself. And I think they make them more personalized than the ones you would get from a sermon graphic service or something like that. So that's the idea I have there. What do you think?
Yeah. No, I think that that's good. Yeah. And we've seen some of this. I've seen it on churches' websites for their series now being used. We've seen it for what we do here now. And it's shocking how amazing some of this stuff turns out. So now it's good stuff. Next one's also a biggie, YouTube thumbnails to get you more clicks.
Yeah, that's good. So here's the thing is that a lot of us probably think that the YouTube thumbnail should be the same as what that one we just talked about was, the sermon series graphic.
Right.
I strongly encourage churches to never use your sermon series graphic as your thumbnail on YouTube. YouTube thumbnails are very different in their form and their purpose than what a sermon series graphic is. So a sermon series graphic is great for in Sunday on your slides. It's probably good for your church emails and putting it in there when you're talking about a new series coming up. But that's primarily where I'm using that. Maybe you pull it on if you're doing bulletins still. I know maybe you can have your sermon series graphic on there. Your YouTube thumbnails are really different. They're designed to kind of be a companion to your YouTube title. And then it's supposed to pique someone's interest enough and be engaging enough to get them to actually go through the step of clicking on your sermon video or whatever video you're doing.
Yeah.
So usually it's going to be a sermon video. So to that end, I think it's a very different prompt. With all of these prompts, we always want to like kind of set the assignment for ChatGPT. You want to tell it what your role is. So for a YouTube thumbnail, I would say something to the effect of, imagine that you are a world-class thumbnail designer and you design thumbnails that get more people to click on videos than anybody in the world. So that's what I would start my prompt with. And then I would give it the parameters of, we did a sermon on this topic.
Right.
Here it
right.
is. Even better, I would take the text of the sermon that I preached, if I have a transcript or if I already uploaded it to YouTube and I'm doing a thumbnail after the fact, you can download your YouTube video's transcript. I would feed that into ChatGPT after I gave it that assignment and say, make the perfect thumbnail for this video and let it cook, let it do its thing. I think it'll be good. Now, there are some things that it won't do as well. We see a lot of good results when you have your pastor's face on the thumbnail. If you get his image in there, like where a close-up of his face in a smiling position, kind of think about the way like Mr. Beast does thumbnails. If you get him on there that way, like you will get higher clicks in most cases if you do that. So in that case, if you want to get your pastor's face on there, you could tell it to leave 30% of the image blank on the right-hand or the left-hand side so I can insert my pastor's close-up face on there. So those kinds of things work too. But yeah, I really love it for this use case, especially when you leave space for faces. It'll usually come up with some really good ideas of companion text to go along with it in the thumbnail. So yeah, if you're not doing this and you're just using their sermon series graphic, I am confident that a prompt like the one I'll leave below will get you more clicks on your sermon videos, and that can make a really big impact.
That's a good point. I see so many churches using their sermon series graphic for the thumbnail image, so I'm glad you mentioned that. And then also, hopefully those details are helpful, because I know a lot of people struggle, as I did when I first started using AI, like, you know, how to enter in what you're asking for in detail. So that should help several folks there, Thomas. That's good stuff, man. Next one would be event promotion images for every ministry. So just having, different ministry event graphics.
Yeah, I think every time you do an event, you should have a graphic that goes with it. And this is good for social media promotion, which I think is a waning value there.
Right.
Like, event promotion on social media doesn't really work very well because it's really not made for that. It's made for engagement and not for advertisement. So unless you're going to pay for it on social media, your event graphics won't go very far. But I do think there's still value on your church website. You can put it onto social media. You can pass it around. But what this lets you do is if you have prompts for this, in a matter of seconds, you can create graphics for events. And again, now the text on them are going to be, it'll be accurate. It'll in most cases say the right days, the right times, any text you want on there, it'll usually get it. So you can give it really specific instructions, but it, what it lets you do is you can really scale the amount of content you're able to put out. It used to be maybe that you only had time to make event graphics for your biggest church events. So your Christmas Eve, your Easter, your Good Friday, your maybe your VBS, those kinds of things. But what if now you could do it for every one of your church events and every ministry? So for your youth ministry can do every, you know, once a month, maybe you do some kind of a big event for youth. Every one of them can have an event graphic because it takes a matter of 30 seconds to get it done if you have a prompt that works and you just let it generate the image for you. So I love this idea. It's a great way to scale up your pace on things and getting graphics for every one of your events there.
That's cool. That definitely will make them stick out and be a little more engaging as well. So this next one's interesting to me because of what goes into this usually when it comes to design is church logos that would actually authentically represent your church. Because I think, it, you know, this is where this could be somewhat controversial is that there's so much that design that goes into a logo and it's supposed to be something iconic and something that lasts you years and years and years that you're remembered by, which is all true when it comes to your logo. So it almost seems like, man, if you just fed that to AI, it's not going to do as good of a job as a designer.
Yeah. You would be surprised, I think, today. I think that, okay, I'll say this. I am not ready to say that you shouldn't hire a professional designer to design your church logo. Yeah. I think that that still is something that most churches should do. That's still a service that we offer here at ReachRight. However, I think that's probably one of the areas that we will get replaced on soonest at ReachRight. And just the leaps we've taken from the time I did a video, it couldn't have been more than 6 or 9 months ago. I did a video. I think it was called, so I'll leave a link to it down in the description and up here if you're watching on YouTube. Here, I think you'll find a link to that. So we did a video. It was called Can AI Design or Can AI Design a Church Logo? Watch ChatGPT Try, I think is what it was
called. That's right.
So we did it and it was middling results, I would say. It was interesting for kind of brainstorming purposes. Sure. It was really good at colors, at getting the right kinds of colors that match kind of our Hawaii ocean mountainous vibe that we had here. It was really bad at text back then, so you couldn't have something that was print ready from that. A lot of that stuff is better now. I think that the quality of logo you would get from a really good prompt, and I'll leave our prompt for that down below, so do check this one out. It does answer a lot of those things you were talking about, Ian, is in the prompt, you're going to feed it some of the things that you value as a church, some of the things in your history, some of the icons of your community and your area. If you feed it that kind of information, I think it's definitely past the place of being a typical 99 Designs. That's one of those services before where they would like have logo competitions and you'd pay $99 for it and you get a bunch of things, or a Fiverr type of a thing where you pay someone $5 overseas to churn out a logo for you. Chances are they're just using AI anyway, so they're doing the same thing. But I think it's better than that now. So is it as good as sitting down with someone from our design team here at ReachRight, for instance, where you could talk to Jay, our lead designer, and he'd hear your heart and story and really brainstorm ideas with you on how we communicate that in an icon and the color palette? No, I'm not ready to say that, you know, we can cross that off yet. But I do think that it is absolutely good enough to get you ideas, to get you, like, you do this five times, that prompt, with the same prompt, it'll do five totally different ideas, and it'll get you something that'll get your juices flowing, I think, on that. And I think if you're really wanting to, you could probably fool people into thinking this was something that you had made by a professional designer. So not a recommendation yet, but I see that if you're watching this video in a couple of years, you're probably laughing at this, saying, this is better
that's
than what
where
most,
it went.
I get the quality of design of someone that I would have had to pay $50,000 to design a logo for me. If I were to, I could do that through AI nowadays. So that's my guess, but we'll see.
That's still the guy or the gal that designed the Coca-Cola or the Apple logo still laughing all the way to the bank. So there you go.
Absolutely.
So it's crazy. Fascinating. Last but not least, social media posts, graphics for social media posts. Yeah.
Yeah. So this can absolutely do that. AI is probably going to be your best solution at this point. Your options for most churches are do it in Canva yourself and use their templates, or have AI do it at this point. And I think that the AI ones that I can generate with the prompt that I'm leading down below are better than the Canva template ones that you can get online there. So I think that I say this with a caveat, because I think social media graphics are almost useless right now. Because, you know, if you're sharing scripture graphics or event graphics like we talked about and that kind of stuff on social media, your reach is very limited. I do think you could probably make a case for building a carousel with this, but that really is more a question of really good writing, which you can also use AI to help you with. Here at Reach Right, we put out a couple of carousels a week that are usually designed to grab people's attention and walk them through kind of a thought process on why we do something in the church, or maybe answering a difficult question. So the writing is the bigger challenge. It could definitely design it for you. But I say all of that, like, use the prompt below if you want to try it. I think it's interesting. But realistically, I think that there's not a ton of value in social media graphics anymore outside of carousels. So I think I'm going to use that less and less. I think this is an interesting phenomenon too, is that anything we can do with ChatGPT is going to have less and less value on social media, because people are mass producing it so quickly that, like, you're just getting drowned out by all the other noise out there.
Yeah.
So all that being said, I think it has some potential out there. Is it good enough to do it? Yes. Is it actually valuable? Probably not really.
Yeah, good way to put it. Good stuff, Thomas.
Yeah. I hope this has been helpful to you. These are some of the things that I'm using it for. If you have things that you're using, ChatGPT or Sora, or maybe another an AI system that you're using. I know I used Midjourney for a long time to make graphics, but I think the ChatGPT recent release has since passed it in its ability. If you're using it for anything that I didn't talk about here, I'd love for you to share the knowledge on this, and, you know, maybe you have a prompt that really works well. Once again, I'm leaving all of the prompts down in the description below, so you can grab those, just copy and paste them, put in your church's information, and even kind of share some of your results. I'd love to see some of that down in the comments down below. Thanks, guys, awesome, for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.